message today, the title is Condemnation. Isn't that great? Now then, we're going to start this Sunday with a series called Bad Words. And these are words that if you are in the world, if you're a secular person, there's these four words are bad words to you. And those four words are condemnation, repentance, judgment, and death. Those are words that they're just bad words. People get uneasy when they hear them. And seem like there's been a whole thing going on in church about we need to not bring up condemnation and judgment and repentance. We need to make people feel comfortable and have warm fuzzies when they come to church. And this is just it. Once you hear and you embrace the good news and you really appropriate what Jesus did on the cross for you personally, and your sins are forgiven, and you're going to live forever, and you can sing with conviction, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Even if you're 98 years old, you're just getting started when you look at the long length of eternity. No end. We're just getting started. And you see, these words, condemnation, repentance, judgment, and death, they become happy words to us once we're on the other side of the new birth. But as long as we have not appropriated personally what Jesus did for us, then these are troubling words. They're troublesome words. And they bother us, and they make us feel that Christians are judgmental and that they are just on the wrong track, and they need to get with it and get some happy stuff going. So, but that's just it. When I say Christianity, I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But a personal relationship with Jesus gives you a joy in your heart, and you realize certain things. And so that's what we're going to start this Sunday. If there's ever a time when the world needs good news, it's right now. You know, my gosh, last night I read, I follow the Israeli Defense Force Telegram page. If you want to really know what's going on in Israel, I encourage you to look at it, because they give posts even every time a siren goes off and the rockets coming toward them. And last night, Israel launched 300 different unmanned, let's get this right, unmanned aerial vehicles, they call them, which is basically like smart bombs and cruise missiles and things like that. 300 of them they launched toward Israel. And they claimed that they shot down 99%, most of them before they got to Israeli soil. And so this is one of those things where that's bad news, but it's good news that the Israelis shot down all but 1% of them. And but the world is just, and you won't hear a lot of what you'll see at the IDF letting us know about. I encourage you. It's like out of the Bible. So I try to keep up with it. And we have been told to pray for the peace of Israel. And so the world needs good news. And all the news seems to be slanted toward bad news. You know, it's so I don't even like to watch the news anymore. I just read a summary of it, and the things that grab me, I pursue, and then I go on. But I just leave the commentators and all on TV to do their thing. So I stay informed, but I don't have to be brainwashed. So anyway, We need good news. You turn on the social media, the internet, television, whatever, bad news every day. And anything that happens that is bad, they want you to know about it. And so that's all they tell, it seems like. So I'm going to tell you about the good news this morning. And I want you to know that when the good news came into this world 2,000 years ago, that what we call the good news is even gooder than you might think. It literally changes everything. And all the good news, or all the news that you receive, if you'll filter it through the good news, it can change it all, because the good news changes everything. Well, the good news that we, I just want to tell you about what the good news is briefly. We get that word, the word gospel. The word gospel means good news. It means that literally. So anytime you see the word gospel, just for a while we're looking through this, we're going to put the words good news there. For instance, Mark 1:14. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the good news of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled." Now, this is just amazing. The time that they had waited for since the fall and of Adam and Eve was 4,000 years. And the time, Jesus says, is now. And the kingdom of God is at hand. And by the way, that's one of the words we're going to be talking about that people think is a bad word, but it's actually a good word. Believe the good news. Believe in the gospel. I just want you to think about this. Jesus brought good news. He didn't bring any bad news. He did not say, "Repent, for hell is at hand." He said, "Repent. Change the way that you're thinking, because heaven is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. He has sent me to announce and to proclaim good news." Everything he said and did was good news. And so the Greek word for good news is euangelion. And euangelion is the word for the gospel. It's a combination of two words, eu, and that means good. That doesn't sound very good in English, does it? Eu. But that's good in Greek. And the other word is angelos, and that's either a message or a messenger. And so the noun refers to the messenger, and news, ew, good, that refers to, it's good news. And the background of euangelion is actually a military term. It has a sense of a military word because it comes from the king, and it's about battle. And euangelion is actually a messenger who brings good news to the king or from the king. And that was the euangelion, that particular messenger, that was his only job, was bringing good news. That's a good thing to have. It's a good job to have, to be just spreading good news. And that should be our job too, shouldn't it? Because we have good news to share. And this is the term that God chooses to put in the Bible to describe the gospel. It is the messenger who never brings bad news. He brings good news. When he shows up, it's his only job is to bring good news. Let me show you an example of this in the Old Testament. In 2 Samuel 18:27, it says, "So the watchman said, 'I think the running of the first is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok.' And the king said, he is a good man and comes with good news. He's an evangelion. He's a good messenger. And that means that when he gets here, he'll have some good news for us. And so there was this specific messenger, and he would show up and go around from village to village. And they had no internet. They had no email. And so the messenger would come and say, the war is over. And he would go from village to village sharing that good news. In other words, your warriors, your family members are going to be returning home. He might show up and say, the king is coming to visit your village. He's coming to visit your city, your town. He might show up and say, your taxes are going to be lowered. Yeah, right. But anyway, so now you need to understand, and this is so important, Christianity in actuality is not a religion. It's classified as a religion by people, but it's not a religion. It's a relationship with Christ. Now, this gets kind of crazy because there are the secular definition that you might have of Christianity is those who adhere to the teachings of Jesus Christ. And see, religion puts all this belief, these belief systems on the same level. So you've got those who believe and adhere to the teachings of Jesus, and you've got those that adhere to and follow the teachings of Confucius. You've got those that follow the teachings of Buddha, Muhammad, Vishnu. You've got all these different religions and Moses, of course, but they're all put on the same plane. And so you just need, what we do in our world today, supposedly, is we choose a belief system to follow. And so, but you see, that puts Jesus on the same plane as Muhammad and all these other earthly figures. And that's not what it's really all about. And we're going to get into this because it's so important. And I can attest to that. And this is why there are a lot of people in churches today that think that these four words that we're talking about and think that the word condemnation is a bad word is because they claim that they adhere to the teachings of Christ, but they have never really become a Christian. You know, there's some people that claim to be Christian that say, well, I just live by the Ten Commandments and the Golden Rule. Oh, really? Okay. But that doesn't make you a Christian. And you know what? You don't live by those two things anyway. So even if you're trying to live by the teachings of Jesus, you're going to fall short. If you're trying to just be a good person for God, you're going to fall short. And this is the problem. And this is why we need a Savior. And this is why Jesus came. And this is why we have good news. And just looking at this even more, it's a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I can remember growing up thinking that and having been taught that, you know, we're Christians because we adhere to the teachings of Jesus. And I began thinking that a lot of people think that so we're a Christian nation, and so because we're a Christian nation, I'm a Christian, and so it becomes a national thing, and so if I'd been born somewhere else, I'd have been a Muslim, or I'd have been a Hindu, or I'd have been a who knows what else. But anyway, so that kind of troubled me that. Religion many times became kind of a national thing, a governmental thing, and And so, and then people say, by the grace of God, I was brought here, born here so I could be a Christian and be saved. And, but see, there's more to it than that. There's more to it than that. That's adhering to teachings. What it does, what happens is within the teachings of Christ, you will find the way to eternity. Just like Jesus said, you search the scriptures and you think in them you have life, and they point to me. And this is just it. You see, all the other religions bring bad news. Only Jesus and Christianity, real Christianity, brings good news. No other religion has good news. It's all bad news. It's all about, in other religions, it's all about what you have to do to get to heaven instead of what's already been done for you so you can go to heaven. It's totally different. And the reason that I say Christianity is not a religion, Christianity religion is man's attempt to get to God. Christianity reveals God's attempt to get to you. So you see, it's totally different. And the good news is that there is a God who loves you, and he sent his son to die for you. And he sent him to die for you on a cross. And that's good news. In a nutshell, the gospel is John, what we read today, 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now listen to this. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so again, we're looking at these four words. And the first word we're looking at today is condemnation. There was a point in my life whenever, as I've mentioned earlier, I was just living out of this adherence to the rules and all. But you know, there comes a time in life when all of a sudden you grow up. And with maturity comes a sense of mortality. Around the age of 23, it usually hits people. That's why the army and the armed forces really like to get 18-year-olds. They get you in there. Yeah, we're going to give you a college education, all this stuff. They get you in there young because 18-year-olds feel immortal. They don't think about dying. They think that they're going to be immune to that. So they don't think about death. And so if the sergeant says, charge that hill, 18-year-olds say, yes, sir, and up that hill they go. You tell a 26-year-old, go take that hill. They say, after you, Sarge. You know, there's a difference. It starts to hit you, and you become aware of your mortality. And whenever I became aware of my mortality, and I saw that the Christian faith said that you have eternal life and all this sort of stuff, it didn't mean, it just didn't mean anything. And, the closer I got to the truth, the more uneasy I got. And the more these four words came to mean something. And finally, I wanted to know if there really was a God, there really was a heaven. I wanted to serve him. I wanted to go there. So I prayed and said, God, if you're real, let me know. And he did. And he let me know he was real. And then he let me know where I was. He let me realize that I'd really always believed in God, but I had never done anything about the sin in my life. And all of a sudden, I realized that my sin separated me from God. And that's why death was scary to me. That's why condemnation, and I began to feel condemnation. I realized all the things that I had done wrong, all the people that I had hurt, all the pain I'd inflicted on other people that I could never, harsh words, bad, anyway, just things that hurt other people in different ways. People, things that offended God. I'd done so many things, and I realized that those things separated me from God, and that all I had to look forward to and all that I was living under was condemnation. It had been that way my whole life, really, but I finally woke up to it. And this is what a lot of people in church never do. They never wake up to it. And until you wake up to it and face it, until you really face your mortality, you can't deal with it and then get right with God and find out that something's been done about that separation between you and God. And so condemnation is what I felt. I could do nothing about it. And I discovered that Jesus on the cross paid the price for all the things that condemned me. And he gave me a new life. So anyway, this is just it. It's bad news without Jesus. But with Jesus, he makes the word condemnation a good word, a good news word. And the word condemnation comes from the word damnation. And here in Matthew 23:14, Jesus says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore, you will receive greater condemnation." In the Old King James, it says, "You shall receive the greater damnation." And and in Mark 3:29, he says, "He that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation." And so all the newer versions use the word condemnation, but the word condemnation comes from the word damnation. And so what does damnation mean? Or what does condemnation mean? It means a death sentence. That's what it means. And when he says, "Don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit," it doesn't mean that you say something negative about the Holy Spirit. What it means is that the Holy Spirit is the one who draws you to Christ, the one who reveals Jesus to you. And when you speak against or stand against the Holy Spirit drawing you to Christ, then you're in danger of eternal damnation. You're in danger of eternal death, eternal separation from God. And so it's a death sentence. That's what condemnation means. And I remember when that hit me, and all of a sudden I realized that all I had to look forward to was death and hell. And you can't really enjoy living if that's what's facing you. And so you try your best to stay alive. You do your best. And you can't enjoy life trying not to die. That's not a real good way to live. And that's one of the things that you get freed from whenever you come to know Jesus. But that's what condemnation does. It just, you're separated from God, and all you're facing is damnation. That's it. So, how in the world does Jesus turn this into a good word? And by the way, if you have the habit of damning things, stop it. Why would you ever damn your marriage? Why would you ever damn your spouse or your checkbook or your retirement account? Or this person, that person. I had a first cousin that he was one of these people. Everything that he said had the word damn attached to it. My house, my car, they were all his damned. You know, every other word was that. And so, and that may be some of you when you're not in church, but let me tell you this. If don't ever ask God to damn anything. It wouldn't be good. So it means a death sentence. And so what you need to do is stop it. Okay? So it means a death sentence. So what happens? The word, this word death sentence completely changes when Jesus comes. You remember the woman caught in adultery? You remember what Jesus says to her? Where are your accusers? Does no one condemn you? And she said, no one. And here's good news. He says, neither do I. I don't give you a death sentence either. Let me read you another one. In John 3:17, we read it earlier. For God did not come. I love these words. Did not send his son into the world to give the world a death sentence, you could say, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not given a death sentence, but he who does not believe him has a death sentence already. You see, Jesus didn't come to give you a death sentence. You were born with a death sentence. The good news comes to remove the death sentence. And here's a really good one. Romans 8:1. There is therefore no death sentence to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There's no more death sentence. Now, this is a word that is bad news. We were born with a death sentence. We were born condemned. The good news comes into the world, and there's no more death sentence for those who believe. And that's all it is. That's why I say Christianity is the only religion in the world that has good news, because it's not that hopefully you're good enough one day. Romans 8:1, by the way, starts with no condemnation. You remember how it ends? You know how this passage ends? It ends with no separation. Verse 38, I'm persuaded that in neither death nor life, as of that, neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come. That means everything, nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So Romans 8 starts with no condemnation and it ends with no separation. I mean, you talk about good news. It's gooder than you think, like I said. It's good news. There's really good news. No condemnation is the glory of the gospel. No separation is the guarantee of the gospel. In life, he is with you. In death, you are with him. No separation. No separation. Jesus shows up when every religion in the world gives bad news, and every religion in the world tells you what you have to do in order to get to heaven. And so here's what Jesus does. He shows up and he says, I'm the way. I'm the way to heaven. They say, well, tell us what we've got to do the works of God. And he says, believe me, believe in me, trust in me. accept me, receive me. That's it. And that's pretty good news. It was good news for me, I tell you. All of a sudden, the condemnation was gone. And all I had was just a joy that replaced it. So just for a moment, and wrapping up, let's say you're in court, and God's the judge, and if you've ever done anything wrong, you're condemned to eternal death. If you've done anything wrong, if you've done anything that's brought hurt to anyone, if you've, I'll just leave it at that. And so they don't even have to play the full video of your life to know you've done something, you've done things wrong. And so God raises the gavel, and he's about to pronounce the death sentence over you. And then Jesus steps up and says, "Father, I'll take her sentence. I'll die for her." And then the Father says to you, "Do you want to receive this?" Now you might even say, "Well, I don't want Jesus to have to die." And here's what he would say. Well, he already did. He's already done it. And he already took your sentence. But it's up to you whether you will receive that or not, because you have a free will. You have a choice. Do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to go to hell? It's that clear, a choice. And so he would say, "Would you like to receive what Jesus did for you?" And when you say, "Yes, I'd like to receive it," here's what I want you to understand. He hits the gavel and he says, "You are now sentenced to eternal life." You see, the bad news is that you were born sentenced to eternal death. The good news is that you're born again and sentenced to eternal life. You're sentenced by God through Jesus Christ to eternal life. And that's good news, isn't it? And that's just the first one. We're just getting started. And I'm just telling you that the good news changes everything. The good news takes all the bad news and filters and changes it. So that all these words that were very, very bad news for us as sinners, everything changes because a person, a messenger, the good news, the good word, came into this world and brought the good news. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As we close today, our closing hymn is going to be number 122, "I Stand Amazed in the Presence." And we're singing that this morning because it is a rejoicing over being freed from condemnation. "I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me." We stood before him condemned and unclean, and through his marvelous love, we're brought into the kingdom of God. While we're singing this one verse, if there are any of you who realize that you've been in church, but you haven't really appropriated what the church is really all about, the good news, if you haven't personally applied it to your sin, and you've been feeling like you've been living under condemnation, and you would love to be freed from that, I'll be happy to pray with you about that if you'd come as we stand and sing. Also, if you'd like to become a part of this church, if you'd like to join this congregation, we give you this opportunity. If you'd come as we stand and sing, "I Stand Amazed in the Presence." Let's stand and sing.